Let's talk a little bit about CLL. Same question in terms of what are some of the key issues right now that you're hearing from docs? What do they want to know about?
I think what they want to know is what do we do with these new fancy prognostic factors? And that stems from the way we treat CLL, which is that our approach has always been watch and wait, which makes it a little bit different than most leukemias. So you diagnose the patient and then you don't necessarily treat them. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The median age is about 70. Some patients have very indolent disease. We don't have a curative therapy as of today. And so the idea is if you have an asymptomatic patient who might have lots of other medical problems, why treat them? On the other hand, someone outside the field could say, well, yeah, but the reason you don't have any curative therapy is you wait for these patients to progress. You wait till they have a lot of disease. The longer you wait, maybe the more molecular abnormalities are occurring in the leukemic cell to confer resistance. And of course, you don't cure anybody because you don't treat them when you make the diagnosis. Well, actually, there were a number of randomized trials in the 80s where this question was asked. So patients were randomized to chlorambucil therapy or watch and wait until progression. And all of those trials produced exactly the same results, which is that there was no benefit in terms of survival to early treatment. Now, the obvious point that you would raise in 2008 is, well, don't you think you have better therapy than chlorambucil? And I'm certain that we do. But the reason you probably wouldn't want to do a similar trial, even with newer therapy, is that if you take all patients with early stage CLL, about a third of them never progress enough to warrant treatment. So obviously, if you're going to do a randomized trial, that's really going to dilute out any potential benefit, perhaps to the other patients.